First up here on TSN 1050, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Poliakovo with you. The song is City of Blinding Lights, indeed, the track featured in the Entourage episode, I think it was in season 2, played by U2 for Johnny Drama's birthday. So, Coco, it's only natural we welcome in the Vincent Chase of the NFL gambling community.
Oh, nice.
He's from Covers.com, the host of the Simple Handicap podcast. And let me tell you, I listen every single day. It's a must-listen for anyone looking to become a better NFL gambler. A treat to welcome to First Up for the first time. It is Adam Chernoff. Hey, man, what's going on?
I would be more of like the resurgent turtle at the end of the series than I would be anywhere near Vincent Chase.
I mean, Jamie Lynn Siegler, you could do worse than that, right, Adam?
I went well above my weight class in real life, too, so there's more similarities than less.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Jeez. Well, it's great to have you on the show, man. I've been a follower and a fan of yours for a long time. And why don't we start with everything that happened yesterday, and we'll look ahead to the weekend in just a moment. Let's start with the Bills. I'm sure you're aware, my man Carlo, a huge Buffalo Bills supporter. And we've been trying to figure out what exactly we can derive from that win yesterday. New Orleans offense, so impotent without Kamara and Ingram, Trevor Siemian. They weren't able to generate anything. What do you take away from what you saw in that 31-6 win yesterday?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the thing that stood out most to me was earlier in the week, Sunday press conferences, Monday press conferences, Daboll, McDermott were visibly emotional and visibly angry within their press conferences. And those are two pretty stoic guys generally. And they sort of outlined how big of an emphasis they had on this game. And they certainly came out and delivered 5.8 yards per play. They were able to run the ball on a Saints defense that's been very good against the run, but more importantly, get Josh Allen working with his legs, which is huge for this offense overall. The turnovers, still concerning for Allen, especially those in the red zone. It's becoming a bit of a problem as we've seen his accuracy on short passes this season regress a little bit. But it was a good win to hold over looking forward to that game next week against New England, which is going to decide so much. But let's see how big of an impact Tre'Davious White not being in the lineup is going to have for this Bills defense, which is really built around defending the pass.
Yeah, that's going to be a concerning trend. Obviously, the injury that he suffered, there still hasn't been any, definition of what it is, but doesn't look promising. But for Bills fans, you just hope it's there. But what if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and you walk into the game yesterday as 7-point favorites against the Las Vegas Raiders, who are losers of 3 in a row? You just come off of a disappointing performance against the Kansas City Chiefs. You're at home. It's Thanksgiving Day. It's the primetime game on Thanksgiving. And you lose outright to the Vegas Raiders. And not only did you lose, you gave up 36 points to the Vegas Raiders. How concerning is that for the Dallas Cowboys and their potential for the rest of the season?
It was an indictment of their defense. And look, these are DBs all season that have got credit for interceptions and big plays. But we saw what happens when they gamble and it doesn't work. And also what happens when they're forced to cover great route runners. These guys make interceptions, they make big plays. But if you look at some of the grading, especially on a guy like Diggs, who leads the league in interceptions, but in just pure coverage grading, he's one of the worst DBs in the league. And so I know there were a lot of penalties, and it upset everyone, but they were all penalties, especially the ones in coverage. And so that's what happens when this Dallas defense is forced to cover elite route runners that the Raiders have on the field. And so that's been a concern at many times this season, but the Cowboys' offense has been able to disguise it. But when you take away Cooper and you take away Lamb, weapons number 1 and 2, that's what you get from the Cowboys. It's a defense that has a lot of issues in coverage. And when the offense can't score to disguise that and put the Cowboys ahead so the defense can take those gambles and play downhill, that we saw exactly what happens. 509 yards for the Raiders, 6.5 yards per play, nearly 9 yards per pass. It was a dominant performance. And it's just an issue that the Cowboys have had all year that's been disguised, and they're going to have it going forward.
Breaking news from Adam Schefter. Anthony Brown just charged with his 5th defensive pass interference call. And the game's over. He's still picking up more DPIs. Adam Chernoff is our guest from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. Let's look ahead to the weekend. And I think whenever there's a coaching change in the NFL, think back to when John Gruden resigned or whatever ended up happening there, we were always a little bit uncertain about what's going to transpire with the team the following week. Now, we have a situation this week with Jason Garrett. He's out as OC of the Giants. How do you handicap that game with the Giants and the Eagles, considering that situation?
Thank you for sparing me a Bears-Lions recap, by the way. I noticed we skipped
exactly.
Over that.
I don't want to talk about the Bears and Lions anymore. We can skip
the
past
Nagy
that
versus Campbell Bowl.
Oof. The Garrett news is huge because I think of Kitchen stepping in. And so don't remember, if you're listening to the show, Kitchens as the head coach. Try remember him as the interim offensive coordinator. This is a guy who's a much better OC than he is a head coach. And so now he gets put back into that role. And what it does is it brings a lot of uncertainty on a short week because the news was announced Monday morning for the Eagles to adjust. And where it gets interesting is Jonathan Gannon, who's the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, for years he was one of the best week-to-week game planners in the NFL. This year he's just kind of conceded all of that, and he sits in what's looked at as the softest defense in the NFL. He doesn't blitz, they don't generate much pressure, and he allows the highest opposing quarterback completion percentage. When you put all of those things together, it makes up for a great spot for Daniel Jones when he thinks about where he struggles. And what I like about Kitchens stepping in is the one thing that Freddie Kitchens does well as a play caller is really simplify the game for his quarterback. They use a lot of multiple tight end sets. They use extra running backs and protections. The route tree is very simple. And that's what Daniel Jones and this offense desperately needs. And so when Kitchen stepped in 2018, Mayfield went from a guy that we weren't sure was deserving to be a starter. Did he not sit long enough? Should he be in there? With Kitchens, he finished the season. His yards per attempt was up nearly 2 yards versus the first 5 games he played without him. Mayfield finished 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions versus 8 and 6 without him. I think this is a big boost for the Giants offense, which is now getting healthier. And it's just the perfect opponent for all of this to sort of come together within division, and you're getting 3.5 points above the field goal. Have to take the Giants plus the points here.
Yeah, I'll never, ever put my confidence in a Giants team led by Daniel Jones.
That's why he's Adam Chernoff and you're Carlo Kolaiakovo.
That's why I said that's why he's Adam Chernoff and I'm Carlo Kolaiakovo. Let's look at some of the other games, Adam, and maybe you can offer some advice to some of our Survivor Pool contestants that are still remaining. It's a tough week if you've already used a lot of your big dogs. And a game I think most people are asking is, would you use a survivor pick on the Houston Texans that are at home against the New York Jets, who are led by Zach Wilson?
Not a chance. And it's beyond just the fact that I like the Jets, and I'll tell you why. If you've made it this far in Survivor and you made it through the Thanksgiving week, if that was part of your contest, don't go out on the Houston Texans. You're never going to live with yourself when that happens. But it's a spot where I think the Jets can win outright. And one of the most important stats to look to as a bettor is something extremely simple. It's net yards per play. And it really reflects how strong or how weak teams are. And so if you're ever uncertain of how bad teams really are, you can look at net yards per play, and it'll give you really good insight. We know both of these two teams are bad, but in no way do I ever find the spot where the Jets are worse than the Texans. And if we look to net yards per play, the Jets are nearly half a yard per play better than the Houston Texans. Last week, something very important to look to as well as a better is just go to the box score after the game in whatever score app you use and look at the total yardage differential and look at the net yards per play differential between the two teams. Last week, the Jets lost, but they outgained Miami. They just struggled in the red zone. On the other hand, Houston won, but they put up just 3.1 yards per play, which was the worst of the week. They were outgained by nearly 300 yards, but they benefited from 5 Tennessee turnovers. When you see that as a better, you sort of identify that as a misleading box score because the week after always adjusts to it. This game adjusted up for Houston, which I don't agree with. And the Jets defense has been the struggle. They've given up 550 to New England, 530 to Indianapolis, 500 to Buffalo. But those are all top 10 offenses. in the league. And now to step back, they play Houston, who's 28th in offensive efficiency. This is the worst offense and defense the Jets have faced all season. So it's a big step down in weight class for New York. They can't be a dog here to Houston. This is a pick'em game at worst. I'm happy to take the Jets, and please don't take Houston and Survivor.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You've come far too – it's been far too long of a journey in Survivor pools. If you've made it all the way to week 12 and you're going to use Houston, I don't care who they're playing.
Okay, but here's another thing. I just looked at our first up Survivor pool. There is 11 people left.
Oh, wow.
Because 4 people took the Cowboys yesterday, and 1 person took the Lions.
Wow, they took the Lions? I mean, the Lions were like, what, +3.5 heading into that game, or +3 by game time? That's a ballsy pick. Ballsy pick.
11 people left in the first up Survivor pool.
Wow, that's going to be an interesting finish. I bet maybe there'll be one winner this year. Last year, I think we had 15 winners. Yeah. This year, there may be indeed one winner. I'm sure Adam's in the pool. He's probably going to win. Adam, so why don't you break down a game on Sunday afternoon between the L.A. Rams and the Green Bay Packers, two of the top teams in the NFC. This line open with L.A. as a 2.5-point dog has been bet to +1 in favor, or I guess, for the Rams. So they're now -1, actually. I'm looking at it this morning. So some significant line movement in that one. How do you attribute the type of line movement that we've seen so far in the Rams and the Pack?
It's the right move, and I still think there's a little bit of room for this to go yet. And obviously we're late in the week, so there's a lot of value gone from this line. And if you're looking at it and you can get the Rams on the money line, still worth a wager because Green Bay, they're without Jenkins and Bakhtiari on their offensive line. The last time we saw this was week 1. They get smashed by the Saints, and they couldn't protect Rodgers one bit. But the significance of those two injuries is it's obviously their best two offensive linemen, but the other three guys on the offensive line, when you're looking at player grades for the season, neither of them are in the top 90 in the offensive line at their position in the league. And when you think about how many teams there are and how many players play at certain positions, not being inside the top 90, not a good prospect. It gets even worse when you consider that Rodgers now has his fractured toe that he's willing to show off at interviews for some reason.
COVID toe.
Rex Ryan, but COVID, we'll leave that for COVID another time. And then you have Aaron Jones, who's coming back less than 100%. All of a sudden, this Packers offense has a lot of issues and a lot of question marks. And defensively, they now face a Rams team that is coming in off of the bye. And the significance of the bye is the fact that now Matthew Stafford is healthy. He was hurt for the last 2 to 3 games that they've played, and that kind of went unnoticed generally in the news and overall. And what it's going to allow this offense to do is put Stafford back under center, which has quietly been coming out in some press conferences this week. That really opens up the Rams offense and McVay and how he likes to use play action, which is something that the Packers really struggle defending. So not only can it be an effective game for Stafford passing, but it's going to be a really big game for Henderson out of the backfield against this Packers defense that ranks 30th in the league against the run. And again, I'll always go back to something simple like net yards per play because it's so important. The Rams +1.0 net yards per play on the season. The Packers half a yard worse per game. That's the difference between the Rams at number 2 in the league and the Packers at number 10. So it's another spot similar to the Jets in Houston where this was on the wrong side of 0 for the opener, and it's corrected itself now, but I still think with everything coming together, the Rams on the money line is a bet you have to make this weekend.
Adam Chernoff is our guest from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. We've gotten your NFL analysis, Adam. Now it's time for you to give us your thoughts on the burning question here on this radio program this morning. There was a picture posted on the Leafs Lunch account yesterday featuring Al's brother, who could actually really use your gambling advice. He is a truly atrocious NFL bettor. He had his festive special, his Swiss Chalet festive special. All of the sauce accompanying the meal was poured on the chicken and the fries and the bun, and there's no dipping going on. It's just kind of a dousing of sorts on the meal. What is your interpretation of his approach to consuming Swiss Chalet? Is that how you do it?
I'm going to be honest. I heard this debate earlier, and I didn't come on the show almost because I heard there was support for the dousing of
Thank
the
you.
Festive special.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I saw the picture yesterday, and it was just a head shaker because in general, the festive special is a beautiful plate of food. It's colorful, it's bright, it's vibrant, and you're just pouring. The chalet sauce is great, but you can't cover it. Come on. Especially in the takeout container in the picture. That was just a bad move.
Savor the flavor, man. Come on, just pour it on everything. It's the way to go.
You can still get it. Look, the food on the plate is the vehicle to deliver the sauce to your mouth. You don't put it on the food and then work off the plate. There's a reason it's in the container.
Wow.
Listen, his breakdown was spot on. Net yards per play and Swiss Chalet dousing analysis. This man is on to something. He is a five-tool threat. Thank you for doing this, my man. We appreciate it. I know the Covers community very excited about this appearance this morning, so it's been great to have you as part of the show.
You got it.
Thanks very much, and I'm looking forward to those two CFL games this weekend as well. There's
no kidding.
You're
a Regina guy, right? So it must be a little nerve-wracking for your Riders hosting Calgary, right?
I hear folks much smarter than I am like the Stampeder, so that's the direction I'll be going.
There's a couple on this radio show that may be leaning that way right now. Thanks for doing this, my man. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, guys. Enjoy the games this weekend.
See you, Adam.
All right, that is Adam Chernoff from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. And full disclosure, Coco, I've talked about my degenerate gambling group, like my buddies who are all heavy bettors in the NFL, basically anything you can wager on. The group photo, the display picture of that text thread is a picture of Adam Chernoff.
Really?
Yes, that is the reverence. Because we tail him, and yeah, he's hitting at over 67% on his picks and props over the course of this NFL season. And listen, in the CFL, like Derek Taylor and I are hitting over 70% on CFL props and wagers, but it's the CFL. I mean, it's a lot easier. There's way fewer games, and you kind of get some information that can lead you one way or another, and you know, maybe some more stale lines in the Canadian Football League. To do that in the NFL is preposterous. He's been extremely successful, and again, I would encourage our audience to go and subscribe and listen to the Simple Handicap podcast, which Adam posts every morning, and it's as good an insight into the week ahead in the NFL as you will find anywhere. I can guarantee you that. So thanks to Adam for joining us, and hopefully we make that a regular occurrence, because he will definitely make you a much smarter NFL gambler. We have Bob Weeks coming up in about 5 minutes' time. We'll tee up Bryson versus Brooks, the match five today from the Wynn Golf Course in Las Vegas. Very excited to watch that. That's at 4 o'clock. We'll also get Bob's thoughts on, could Tiger Woods be getting close to a return even as early as next month? Plus, Bob Weeks has been giving his curling picks on the TSN Edge account, so maybe we'll see if we can make some money from Mr. Weeks as well. That's all coming up on First Up.